Hello and a warm welcome to another deep dive podcast from Digital Compact. My name is Jelka Czmarek, and today, actually, I think I recorded like 250 podcasts, and this is actually the first one I record in Sweden, and I think even the first one I cover like abroad, yeah? So really an interesting premiere for me as well.
Interesting, yeah.
And obviously, I would love to start to introduce you at first. Who are you? What do you do?
Marlene Sandberg is my name. I'm the founder and CEO of Nati. I started for 25 years. In May, it's 25 years.
What exactly is Nati? What's the vision of it? How does it work? How do I imagine Nati today? What does it look like as a company?
Yeah, the reason why I started was that I had my second child and I was reading a morning newspaper about the fact that diapers was produced by oil and not degree in the landfill, which was then the system, which was used in Sweden. And I was getting upset and I was feeling this is not feeling good to throw all this extreme volume out every day. And I started to look at the yellow pages. There was no online those days, a telephone book, and was trying to find producer. And I couldn't find any producer because the industry was only one large producer. And I started to also investigate, was there any biomaterial or compostable material I can use in diaper? And then I found three producer of this kind of material. And this is volume-driven industry. But there was not any available material for diaper production because diaper production is extremely high speed and you need to secure the machine is made for oil-based plastic. And it is a low-margin industry. You need to have low waste, high efficiency. So I was lucky enough that I had my own small old factory. So I did R&D on this factory, on this old technology. And I think I spent 1.5 years to make sure we could get this film in place, which is the leakage barrier. And I did it in collaboration with an Italian company. It was a female who was the CEO for that company, and she still is today.
Wow.
And I was more or less just using my stomach feeling, who will be the long-term player in this industry, who will win it. And she was fast and quick and really engaged. So then I decided to work with them. And we was doing all this R&D together. And that was taking us at least 1.5, 2 years in the machine. We had serious problem before we could process the film in the machine. I mean, the vision was all the time, even if I was 25 years before the market was ready, was to make products which is good for the health of the baby and good for the planet. Because we had a big trend in Sweden those days that a lot of environmental discussion in the newspaper, in the magazines. And I was reading and reading and reading. And then when I started to read, it was like putting new eyeglasses because I had a lifestyle, which when been reading all this, I felt, okay, I can't continue like this. This is crazy. Really, it's changed totally your way on how you buy products, how you behave. But what I also saw was that the industry is extremely slow. It's also really large corporation who lobby against it.
Why?
They have a lot of profits and it's not political system who drive globally the consumption. It's the companies who's driving the consumptions and the lobbying for their products.
Jetzt kommt ein kleiner Werbespot.
Aufgepasst! Wusstest du, dass HR-Teams heutzutage mit mehr Aufgaben denn je konfrontiert sind? In der aktuellen Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 von Sage, wurden HR-Teams aus 7 verschiedenen Ländern und über 20 Branchen befragt, um top aktuelle Insights in der Entwicklung des Personalwesens zu geben. Sage entwickelt HR-Tools und Software für dein Unternehmen, um Lohnabrechnungen, Personalmanagement, Buchhaltung und mehr zu vereinfachen. So, und die Studie von Sage zeigt unter anderem, dass ganze 91% der HR-Teams angeben, dass ihre Arbeitsbelastung im letzten Jahr zugenommen hat, aber gleichzeitig glauben 79% der Befragten, dass Automatisierung ihre Prozesse zukünftig verbessern und Zeit sparen kann. Ebenfalls spielt auch KI eine große Rolle. Derzeit nutzen etwa ein Drittel bereits Chatbots wie ChatGPT in ihren Prozessen. Und ca. 3/4 der PersonalleiterInnen sind sich bereits sicher, dass KI die Arbeitsweise im HR revolutionieren wird. Du merkst, die Studie ist vollgepackt mit Statistiken, überraschenden Erkenntnissen und Tipps für HR-Führungskräfte, die vorankommen wollen und zeigt eine Momentaufnahme der sich stetig wandelnden Rolle von HR heute. Am besten schaust du dir die Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 selbst an. Unter digitalkompakt.de/ Sage, S-A-G-E, kannst du sie dir komplett kostenlos herunterladen. Und wie immer findest du alle Infos auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/sponsoren.
Werbung Ende.
I mean, maybe we could give all those listeners who do not have children or are pregnant right now, give an idea about how many diapers a child uses anyway and how much of it consists of oil. Because my daughter is one by now and I think she uses about like 5 diapers a day, which has reduced quite a bit. Yeah, I guess babies start at 7 to 9 diapers a day and it slows down the older they get. But I guess you are the one with the better numbers.
Yeah, we have the numbers. I mean, you're right. We're saying in the industry that you use 4.5. diaper in average. A normal diaper, I would say that 90%, 95% of the industry is using 87% plastic in diapers. So it's in a really oil-based industry. And as well, if you go and look into the wipes industry, it's an industrial magazine where I just got an article from them where they're saying that 90% of all wipes produced globally is made of oil plastic, which people don't understand. So the majority of all wipes is also plastic.
Like these wet wipes you use to clean the...
The baby, yeah. They are made of oil plastic. And also if you take all the femcare, it's also made of plastic oil. I'm struggling to understand why there's not anybody who's talking about this segment. People are tend to talk about plastic bags, carry bags from the retailer. But if you take a baby consumption of diapers, you're actually talking about a small percent of the population who then counts for 3% of the waste in a country.
3%?
3% is the baby's creating. So if you would take an individual product and say, I'm going to take the one who have the highest rate based on per capita, I would say diaper would be the one you should solve one or the first one. And for me also, it's when I started this company, my objective was to change all the material to compostable and renewable. Because in any way, when you handle it in the waste system, you get a better effect for the environment. And you get a better effect for the baby in the long term. Because also I think it's a system where if you take the Swedish Environmental Foundation, which is an organization who started for over 100 years ago, they're part of Friends of the Earth's network. And I've been working with them since I started the company. If you take products today, also it's another topic which will be on the headline and will be a massive market in the future, I think. It's not only what kind of material you use, it's also what kind of chemical you use when you produce products. They did a large investigation in Sweden of baby wipes and toiletry lines, and they checked 67, and out of them was 54 containing hormone effective and cancerogen chemicals. So that's also another one topic which I was upset when I was reading this. And I was not actually planning to do the other lines at all when I started. But when I saw this, I felt, oh no, I need to do all this line and make sure I have a clean product. I mean, clean for the environment and clean for the babies. Because also now we have a lot of discussion in Europe that you should recycle. But if you start to recycle material which contains hormone-effective cancerogen chemical, is it good that you use this product 10 times? And why should you use it? Because you need to limit the damage.
I mean, my way of getting like deeper in contact with your products and your company was I recorded a podcast saying how I reduce plastic. I was saying like, hey, I'm using soap instead of shampoo and toothbrushes made of bamboo and all that stuff. And then basically your German country manager came to me and said, hey, we're also in this industry. Would you like to talk about stuff? And what I then did was I tested your products. And when I first held these shampoos and lotions in my hand, the funny moment was it says no PEG, no this. No that, no plastics, etc., etc. And like half of the names written on that, which are not inside of the product, I didn't even know. Like there are chemicals written on it, which I didn't even know. And I would say I'm not the typical guy going to the drugstore, grabbing the biggest brand
bottle,
or the... I'm really taking all this stuff out, checking all the insights and really realized that there's a lot of stuff like toothpaste, for instance. You can hardly use it.
You can't use it. So, I mean, I really buying natural organic brand. I mean, it's a lot of products which is not made for human people, I would say. You should have a warning text. Don't use it for children.
So the deeper you dive into this topic, you come to realize, I didn't even know about these wipes, by the way, that they are made of plastic because they feel like cotton.
They feel like cotton. And that's the assumption from the majority of the people, that it's good product.
Or my wife comes home and says, hey, Pampers has this new feature. There's a line on it. When it turns yellow, you can see that the diaper is full with urine and you should change it. Right? Yeah. I said, okay, how do they do it? Yeah, by chemicals. Okay, what kind of chemicals? I don't know. Yeah?
No.
This is where
exactly.
the journey starts.
Exactly. And also, for example, to have perfume in a baby product is a big, big no. Because perfume is a lot of chemicals. And when I was starting to become green for 25 years ago, I started to read about perfume. What is perfume? I haven't used perfume on 25 years.
But how do you make your stuff then to smell nicely?
It's not smelling nicely. It's smelling what it is. We don't add perfume.
So the smell is natural and not artificial?
Yeah. I know it's a lot of brands also in diapers who's adding perfume. If you ask the Swedish Environmental Foundation, which have been my guideline since I started the company, what they have in their regulation, if you produce baby products below 3 years, never, never use perfume. I mean, I don't think it's any product, if I call a baby a product, who smells better than a baby. So why should you use perfume on a baby?
That's true.
Which has such a beautiful smell in itself.
Until they fill their diapers, yeah?
Yeah, but still it's natural.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But what I would still love to know is, where did this drive come from? I mean, you are a lawyer, and an entrepreneur always has to be a lawyer in a way.
Yeah, but I mean, it's coming from the DNA, I think. I'm a person who want to change, always have changes things since I was small. I was starting a football club for girls when I was maybe 11 years old. I started then for friends, I mean, a kind of club in the university. I started a lawyer firm. I always have started things. I'm that kind of person. And I can see my mother, when she was 58 years old, she started a school and she had 40 teachers and 400 children, and she was selling it when she was 70 years old. So it's in the blood, I think. It's my DNA. I always look for products. It's annoying because if you go out on a restaurant or a coffee shop, wherever you go, you look at product and thinking, oh, this is not well done, and this restaurant is not done in a proper way. You could change this and this and this. That's a habit.
That's the entrepreneur's disease, going around
disease,
the world, seeing challenges, right?
Seeing challenges, yeah. I mean, just sitting in a flight, I was in Amsterdam yesterday, and when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, why don't they have all the, when you get your sandwich and coffee, why is not everything made in compostable material? And why don't I get a little bit, a small compostable bag, and I can throw everything, I can hang it where I can have my coat, and I can continue to work? Why aren't they not doing this?
I do not understand why the EU, for instance, isn't allowing all these materials, these chemicals, that aren't properly investigated on.
I would say it's maybe 2% of all chemicals who are controlled by EU. They don't have the power to do it. They don't have the team in place to do it. If you read about this Swedish Environment Foundation, that's what they're saying. They are so behind it. I mean, they had one chemical which they saw, the bird watcher saw the first sign, and they saw it globally. And this was maybe for 20 years ago, because they saw that the eggs of the birds was crashing. And then they found the same chemical in all eggs globally. So, I mean, it was a global chemical. And then when they was going up with alarm globally about this chemical, we need withdraw this chemical. And when I'm talking with the team in the Swedish Environmental Foundation, they're saying, yes, that chemical was prohibited. But what's happening with the chemical industry is that you have a chemical which have, they say it's called this, but it's changing a small molecule. And then you have the next one, which is really similar to the prohibited. And they can't catch up on this, the political system.
I mean, when I was young, FCKW was the big topic, right? Fluorchlorokohlenwasserstoff, because it ruins the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And how long did it take to get rid of this stuff out of these spray cans, etc.?
Yeah.
But coming back to Nati, you said that you invested like 1.5 years of research, at least in this leakage barrier. Mm. What happens then? How did you make out of this passion, this frustration, this, as you said, seeing challenges, a company?
I was launching here in Sweden to start with. And then we had a tremendous problem with the barrier. back sheet even when we started production, I mean commercial production. And we have been learning how to fly. We are like a cat who have 10 lives. Because in the beginning we was attacked by a large producer. I think we did too well. So legally we had the Swedish Environmental Foundation who was having the certification. We had a really good certification because it's a lot of confusion when you talk about certification. And their certification is Bra Miljöval. So what they had as a guideline is that you should use as much as possible natural renewable material. And it was hard to get it because you needed to have more than 50% of the product. So we had that certification, but we was attacked by a big multinational company. And I was spending time. It was good that I was legally, yeah. But what they was achieving, that they was lobbying in by a laboratory who was also driven by the industry. 50% of the industry was controlling it. So this was on purpose. And then it was coming out in the media and we got really bad score on that analyze because we had a channel this day in the absorbent core and they was cutting out the ring like this. And then it was putting in 300 milliliter water and they was measuring how much was in the lid then. And because of the fact that we had a channel, it was coming a lot in the bottom. And that was the purpose. And the other one had all their absorbent core in that ring. So there was no water in that. And I said to the magazine, but we have a new technology. You can't test it in the same way as a standard diaper. But then the damage was done. And they said, we can correct the article. But I said, the damage is done. And our sales was going like that, week by week by week. And then I was invited to an exhibition in UK. And then I used my time in that exhibition to send and the boxes to the big UK retailer. And then we was lucky enough to get a deal with one of the major retailers. And this was already year 2000. And this time I was checking with the legal department. We had a joint collaboration. And I know if I do it jointly with them, because they was number 10 in Europe in volume, then they will not attack them because they are a big customer, this multinational company. So that was my way on surviving without having a new attack from the big multinational companies. So then I have followed that route when I've launched in every market. I'm doing it below the radar, make sure I get a partner in each country who then protect me, because otherwise we will not sit here, because I will just be dead.
But what's the incentive for a retailer to protect one brand? As far as I learned, they always take their space, their shelf space, give it to a product, and if it sells, they continue buying, and if it doesn't, they don't.
I think the reason why they did it was because it was a new concept, nice design, different technology. We had a channel in the diaper, a unique product. And then we made a deal, and they launched it. They have time to launch it, and did it with PR and everything, and they could drive then incremental sales to the store. They showed that it was point of difference, a different product, and the retailer liked to have a point of difference. I mean, the retail industry is really a commodity industry, so all sell the same type of product, and they want you as soon as you get your children, you are the core for them, because they know that you will stay loyal with them for a long time, and you will probably shop there for 15 years, and you have a high basket value.
And I could totally imagine that in the year 2000, the amount of new brands, new innovations was rather low compared
really
to today.
Low.
Ah, okay. That's smart. But how did you finance all this?
I mean, I was in the beginning, I needed to take in equity. And I was then forced to lower my share. And then after, maybe it was taking us 8 years or something to run it with a break even or a low profit. And then when I was seeing that this is going to work out and I can see that I could continue to building the company, I then also, because all the investors wanted to have the return on the investment, which is the rule of the market. And they wanted me also to trying to reduce the, how do you say, extremely expensive material we was using, because it started to come out some other brands in the market, which then just was coloring the bag green or saying Eco, and they didn't use any of this expensive material. And my investor was saying, why do you need to be so ethical? Why can't you use like them and just make the packaging green and put Echo in on? And then what I said to the investor, if you want to play that ball game, then I will quit. You take in some other people, but I don't want to be in this company because I'm building a long-term brand. And I know in life, in business, relation, whatever you, the truth is always catching people in the end. And you need to stay ethical. You need to be transparent with your end consumer, and I believe that is going to get return in the long term. And I can see this is happening because I think we have as a brand extremely high loyalty. And this end consumer which we have is this high income or high education people who are really curious, they reading, they investigate. And this is a big trend, a global trend. We call it responsible consumer. And I've been reading a lot of Boston Consulting Group reports and Bain reports. And this is a group of customer who will change the landscape globally, I think. Because we have a powerful element in the consumer, I think.
Mm-hmm. What did you do then? Like, what did you do with these investors? You said...
What I did in the long end was that I was borrowing money and was taking a super high risk. We was borrowing on our house and I was borrowing money to buy them out, to get the control of the company, because I just had 22%. And that was an extremely high risk, but I couldn't live with the fact we was having two separate way of building the company, and I was not willing to do it. And then I asked them, can I buy you out? This is the value. We was agreeing about the value, and then I bought them out.
So let me get this straight. You are a lawyer that reads an article in the newspaper about plastic and oil in diapers, start a diaper company, finance it with investors, then go all the risky part, like taking credits on your house, etc., buy them out, and after 25 years, you're still in the business. That's really impressive, I would say.
Yeah, it's that been hard work, but also fun. But I mean, it's also, I think the mission is, I've been reading lots of articles about the entrepreneur, but if you have a vision, a mission, what you're doing, I always say, I like people where you have a heart and a brain. People who just do it for financial reason, I think are less successful if they start a company. You need to have a mission, what you're doing. And I think our mission, I always have been saying, if this wouldn't have been working, I can be extremely proud of myself when I'm 65 and look at myself in the mirror. I've done something, I've changed something. And that's also something which gives a value to you as an individual.
Jetzt kommt ein kleiner Werbespot.
Aufgepasst! Wusstest du, dass HR-Teams heutzutage mit mehr Aufgaben denn je konfrontiert sind? In der aktuellen Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 von Sage, wurden HR-Teams aus 7 verschiedenen Ländern und über 20 Branchen befragt, um top aktuelle Insights in der Entwicklung des Personalwesens zu geben. Sage entwickelt HR-Tools und Software für dein Unternehmen, um Lohnabrechnungen, Personalmanagement, Buchhaltung und mehr zu vereinfachen. So, und die Studie von Sage zeigt unter anderem, dass ganze 91% der HR-Teams angeben, dass ihre Arbeitsbelastung im letzten Jahr zugenommen hat, aber gleichzeitig glauben 79% der Befragten, dass Automatisierung ihre Prozesse zukünftig verbessern und Zeit sparen kann. Ebenfalls spielt auch KI eine große Rolle. Derzeit nutzen etwa ein Drittel bereits Chatbots wie ChatGPT in ihren Prozessen. Und ca. 3/4 der PersonalleiterInnen sind sich bereits sicher, dass KI die Arbeitsweise im HR revolutionieren wird. Du merkst, die Studie ist vollgepackt mit Statistiken, überraschenden Erkenntnissen und Tipps für HR-Führungskräfte, die vorankommen wollen, und zeigt eine Momentaufnahme der sich stetig wandelnden Rolle von HR heute. Am besten schaust du dir die Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 selbst an. Unter digitalkompakt.de/Sage kannst du sie dir komplett kostenlos herunterladen. Und wie immer findest du alle Infos auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/sponsoren.
Werbung Ende.
Give us a feeling about the diapers then that you produce. You said that 95% of the diapers being on the market consist to 87% of
oil-based
oil.
Plastic.
What does this look like in your diapers, and how much more expensive is it to produce such a eco diaper?
I don't have the prices of a standard diaper, but I'm guessing maybe 15% more expensive.
Only 15%? That's not much.
No, it's not much, but you see the efficiency in the system and the prices in the system. We're talking about the low margin product. It's a loss leader for all retail globally, more or less, because it's a loss leader, so you drive the traffic to the store. In Sweden, we have some loss leader, that's diapers, and it's the ham for Christmas, and it's the oatmeal for babies. So in this section, they have accepted to sell the product with extremely thin margin. And as a small brand, we need to give them a margin, but the big multinational don't give them a margin because they push with marketing. So they have no other solution than to have this brand in their store, because otherwise they will lose the traffic to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mechanism of the industry. So 15% is a lot of, money in this section. And okay, how we can have been able to survive, because we also give the retailer higher margin, is we have been structuring the company, so we are not a lot of people here. We have, really investing in technology always. So even if we were small for maybe 7 years ago, we invested in SAP system, which is a big system which normally large corporation using. We have EDI on 45% of all order transactions. We have software wherever we can buy it instead of people. Because now we are sitting in a country where you have high income. We are not in low income country. So we need to have a sufficient structure to compete. And I think that's also have been giving us the possibility to have this cost structure.
How many people work for Nati?
In total, in this office, 22 people. And we are abroad, say, maybe 7. So say 40 people. Roughly.
And how about production? Do you produce on your own?
No, we have subcontractors.
Okay, understood. But coming back to the oil question, is a Nati diaper totally free of plastic in oil, or is this impossible?
No, that's impossible today because of the cost structure. So if I would change every material today, then I would say the prices need to go up with maybe 1-2 times. Nobody will buy that diaper, because it's now we're talking about all the material we have been using in the diaper. All this material we have done R&D on. There's not so I can go to supplier and say, I want to buy this material. They are not existing. So we are the innovator, and all the other brand is just following us. So they are trying to find out who's producing our material. And I have been saying before, Tesla said it and Apple said it, that we share it. It's good because probably then the material drop in price is more using it, and then we have more who's using environmental friendly material. And it's good for us and for the earth and for them. So we are always doing R&D. So the last diaper we have launched now, which have the message 0% oil plastic on my skin, that's something we have done now the last 3 years to complete. So it's not easy, because when we push this material into the machines, the material is behaving different compared on oil-based, and the machine is made for oil-based material.
Just to get an idea, if you are the market leader on being eco when it comes to diapers, and the non-leaders have 87% of oil in their diapers, what does a market leader have in percentage?
We have today between 51 and 53% plant-based material in our product. And if you take the other brands, they are between maybe 22% plant-based, and the maximum I have seen is maybe 29-40% plant-based. But we also have a strategy to also change. We have changed all the other products if you take away the diaper, because all the other products you will have industrial compost on, and they are easy to make in compostable material. And the objective for the diaper is to use 100% plant-based or compostable material. So what we're moving now is size 0, which is a small, tiny product. And I would say in 12 months, we will be the first one globally who have an industrial compost size 0 diaper. And it will be extremely expensive for us. But we also want to show the market it's possible. If you buy, I remember when you started with the electrical cars, Toyota will always be the one you think about. If you think about an electrical car. And I think my consumer is the same. I always think I want to buy this kind of product to help the company who take these steps. I understand the cost. It maybe it's not perfect in the beginning, but they're also showing the way forward. So I'm that kind of customer. And I think we have this kind of customers. And then we will be the first one who have this technology in place. The mission is to have all the products to become industrial compost diaper. Because if you look at the diaper, it's a perfect diaper for a compost. Because you buy today's soil if you have a garden, and then you take the soil from the animals, and that soil is 40% better than without the contribution which a diaper can give to the soil. So we're throwing away something which actually can help us to grow tomato. We get 40% more tomato if we use that kind of soil. So we have a project. I have an electronic compost machine here. I have one, had it at home, and I can throw away 4 to 5 days organic waste from my household into this electronic compost. And after 2 hours, it was just pure soil.
Okay, I need to get one of these.
You need to get one of these. I mean, and then we want to have a pocket in the bottom. You have then a compostable bag. And if you're living in an urban city, which the majority of our customers doing, you then can throw it in the normal waste, because it's always better for every kind of handling which the city might have in your society. Or you take it to your office or give it away to somebody who have a garden. So we want to make it easy and simplifying your life. And we have tested to put down the FemCare line in that compost, and we have now the new wipes, which we already have started production on, is having home compost certification. So for me, I have never understood since I started the company why, when I go to a grocery, I buy 4 carry bags with food when I had my small children. Why is not all made of compostable material? Why is not all packaging material made of home compostable material? Because technically, it could have been for 25 years. But why isn't that happening? Because if I have then my electronic home compost, I just throw it, I get soil. Why do I need a lorries?
Let's speak about your products anyway. You mentioned already that you produce wipes, that you produce female hygiene articles. Yeah. What is the product portfolio of Nati's looking like?
We have the diapers, we have the pull-on pants for a little bit older children, we have wipes, and we have 6 different lines of wipes, depending on the need of different markets, and we have breast pads, and the breast pads is also 100% industrial compost. We have also toiletry line, which we have EcoCert on, and then the bottle is made of renewable material. I think we are the first one globally who have this feature. So of all our packaging material we're using in our product, 77% is made of renewable material. We have a long tradition. We have converted this before the market was demanding it, if I say like that. And then we also have some other smaller baby products which we're launching now, like changing pads for the baby when you change your diapers, and we will have a bibs, disposable bibs.
What is a bib?
Bib when you feed them.
Ah, okay.
And they will be also industrial home compost certified.
Yeah, I was about to ask about the packaging. If the packaging is made of plastic anyways?
No, it's not made of plastic. It's made of sugar.
Sugar, okay. So basically it is recyclable, as far as I understand then?
You can recycle it, exactly. Sugar can be recycled.
Because this is really a tough part, I think at least, from being a customer. I really learned something today. As you said, when I buy a diaper, I think of my baby at first and then about the environment, maybe at position 5 or 6.
All consumer groups we have done. That's how the people are reacting. And I totally understand it. I would do the same.
That's like Maslow, right? Did you know this pyramid where he says there are different needs I have and then you need to fulfill the basics and then
exactly.
go to the top?
And the performance is the key. So you don't want to go up overnight because you want to go green with the diaper. You can do it with yourself. You can sacrifice. You can buy a washing powder who maybe doesn't make your shirt as clean as a normal powder, but not the diaper.
And I mean, the advertisement of famous diapers basically focuses on exactly that. Keeping your child dry. This is the number one priority of a mother or a father. And then you add the intransparency on recycling. I was always asking myself, how does Germany do this? Like having a yellow bin where I put in all the plastics, and afterwards, how much of it is recycled? And just recently we found out, okay, not that much. Yeah,
exactly. And which product should you use all this recycled material in? Because it's a limitation where you can use it, because it's bacteria and other stuff. I mean, if you just take the industry of recycling paper, when we started with that in Sweden, it was a discussion, can you use it in hygienic product? No, you can't use it. It includes too much bacteria in it. Because maybe a guy have thrown in where he have the magazine something which should not be there. I mean, you can't control that system. So you need to have virgin fiber for hygienic product. And I think it's the same now also for the plastic industry. If you imagine how much nasty chemical it is in plastic and you recycle them time after time after time, who wants to use this recycled plastic? Mm. And especially if you then think about product where you can say, okay, I don't really care if it's nasty chemical in a carrier bag. But we also know that the retail will stop selling carrier bag. I mean, we have now in Paris, 196 countries signed off that we're going to stop using fossil oil plastic.
Which countries are you shipping to, by the way?
We're selling to 15 countries. USA, Australia, France, Italy, Belgium, and Holland, Finland, Denmark, and little bit in Sweden, super small volume, Korea.
Wow, super exotic. But I learned the income is very high and the demand for green products is also high, right?
Super high. Also, I think it's not so much green aspect as the health aspect. Mm-hmm. Because our product did checked FemCare product in Korea, and we was one of the brand they checked. And actually, when this was happening, all our stock in all countries was just out of stock because the Korean people bought our brand, and it was shipped over to Korea. They investigated the chemical in the FemCare products, and they found a lot of nasty chemicals in the big brands. So this small brand was getting from 3% market share up to 40% in a couple of weeks. Then you can talk about the demand. And it was mostly the chemical aspect, why we was getting so popular, more than the environmental aspect.
Yeah, I can remember we had two big fashion companies in Germany, Brands for Friends and Zalando, who both started really, really early to sell in South Korea because of these guys asking for luxury, asking for health aspects. And
how do you say, the control of incoming goods is the most complicated control I ever have seen since I started the company. But I think it's extremely smart of a country to do like that.
But it must feel strange to you guys to have only like little sales in Sweden, I guess, due to this campaign you mentioned at the very beginning of our podcast.
Yeah, it was that was destroying the business in Sweden. I tend to see it positive when problem is coming. It always ends up with something positive because I learned a lesson. And when we then started in the big market like UK, I know how to do it. And I was protected by my friends in Sainsbury who launched that. If I would have done it in UK, I would have then destroyed it forever. So Sweden was a much smaller market. So even if I was attacked by the bigger multinational, it was a good lesson curve.
So it's better to fail early and in a small, rather small
in
market.
In a small market than in a big market.
Okay, understand. How do you handle the operations like Australia, America and South Korea?
Yeah.
That's like across two oceans at least.
We have seven warehouses or eight, I think we maybe have now. And I think we handle it really well because we have all these technology platforms. We have the EDI. We have even EDI set up with the warehouse in Korea.
Okay.
And it's not an easy operation to set up EDI in Korea. I promise you. The language is also a barrier that sometimes we have a problem to understand each other in English.
But is it like your own warehouse? Your
No. It's always third party. We just rent us in to a warehouse. We never have our own warehouses.
But this is interesting. Like, I guess many companies that listen now are interested in how do I manage to have a 20 people company selling to 15 countries producing and like all the stuff with the operations with such low amount of persons.
Yeah. If we would have not the SAP system, which is a good system to incorporate with EDI, for example, we have 45% of the transaction, which is just flowing through the system without any people handling it. And if we would not have that, we just would be maybe on the order, maybe 10 people.
But is it really SAP that helps you? Because in Germany, Lidl just dumped 500 million euros in making it work.
Yeah, no, but I think you need a solid system, a system where you can integrate it. And SAP is a big system. It's a lot of large corporations who have made integration with EDI. If I would use a smaller Swedish system, which I had when I started, I couldn't have done the integration in that way.
Jetzt kommt ein kleiner Werbespot.
Aufgepasst! Wusstest du, dass HR-Teams heutzutage mit mehr Aufgaben denn je konfrontiert sind? In der aktuellen Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 von Sage, wurden HR-Teams aus 7 verschiedenen Ländern und über 20 Branchen befragt, um top aktuelle Insights in der Entwicklung des Personalwesens zu geben. Sage entwickelt HR-Tools und Software für dein Unternehmen, um Lohnabrechnungen, Personalmanagement, Buchhaltung und mehr zu vereinfachen. So, und die Studie von Sage zeigt unter anderem, dass ganze 91% der HR-Teams angeben, dass ihre Arbeitsbelastung im letzten Jahr zugenommen hat, aber gleichzeitig glauben 79% der Befragten, dass Automatisierung ihre Prozesse zukünftig verbessern und Zeit sparen kann. Ebenfalls spielt auch KI eine große Rolle. Derzeit nutzen etwa ein Drittel bereits Chatbots wie ChatGPT in ihren Prozessen. Und ca. 3/4 der PersonalleiterInnen sind sich bereits sicher, dass KI die Arbeitsweise im HR revolutionieren wird. Du merkst, die Studie ist vollgepackt mit Statistiken, überraschenden Erkenntnissen und Tipps für HR-Führungskräfte, die vorankommen wollen, und zeigt eine Momentaufnahme der sich stetig wandelnden Rolle von HR heute. Am besten schaust du dir die Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 selbst an. Unter digitalkompakt.de/Sage, S-A-G-E, kannst du sie dir komplett kostenlos herunterladen. Und wie immer findest du alle Infos auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/Sponsoren.
Werbung Ende.
But you mentioned that this market is low on margin, and if you're using such technologies and such big companies, this basically lowers your margin as well, right?
Yeah, but in the long end, I think when we get even more volume, we will get return on investment, because we don't need to be more people. I mean, we did the same analysis when we now were sourcing the web platform. I had Magento before, and I could see if I was going to continue with Magento, I needed a more developer who was going to have the technical part. And then we were choosing cloud solution, which is Salesforce. And then I don't need any technical people, programmer here, because it's a cloud solution. It's thousands of people or companies who's using it. It's big companies like Adidas. And that's also kind of the way we have gone. I mean, it's an extremely expensive solution for us as a small company. But in the long term, I think it will get return on investment.
Okay, understood. Now, there's one question that pops up in my head. I mean, you're a company based in Sweden with 20 people that's selling to 15 countries across two oceans, producing diapers with 3 glues, 15 materials that are 53% plant-based. Why exactly are bigger companies, like the big manufacturers, the big brands, aren't at least trying to copy a part of this?
Because of the margin.
That's all?
That's all. Promise you. Everyone would put more higher content if it was not so costly. Hmm. I don't think anybody want to greenwash the end consumer, but that's what I see they doing. They're greenwashing. I mean, they pretend to have a green product. We have tons of example of that. And we're doing all this C14 analyze to really check out the facts. I mean, it's also a retailer who launched green private label product, which is not green. I think they are violating their own brand. If they have a private label brand, it's not a good business practice, I think. It's not ethical.
And from a customer perspective, how do I know that a brand is greenwashing, that this isn't really eco?
No, you need to search for certification.
Even though you said that these certifications are rather weak?
Yeah, like you said, also in the food industry, you have tons of different certifications. You also have brands who do their own labels. So the consumer think it is a green certification, which is even worse. That's the worst thing you can do. Because also what all these companies who do it in an unethical way, they destroy for the good companies, because people get suspicious and they lose their trust. And that can be a big negative pushback on the green industry, I think. We had that in Sweden, so people was losing the confidence because it was a lot of greenwashing. And then suddenly eco was not on the topic anymore. But then it was coming a new trend now, the last couple of years. So now it has started again. But I think it's the certification, you have different certification. As an end consumer, you need to read and understand what is this certification meaning. So if you take the EU flour for diapers, you are allowing 96% oil-based plastics. So that means that every brand globally can have the EU flour. And is it really green? No, it's not really green. And we have been many times discussing, should we apply for the EU flour? Because it's, according to investigations, it's 40% of the end consumer who trust the EU flour. But then we're saying, when we're sitting and discussing this topic, why should we then have this high investment as we have on all this expensive raw material? We can then instead just put the AO flower on the packaging and improve our margin with at least 15%. And I mean, we have been producing a lot of millions of diapers. As an owner, we have invested heavily in the environment, I would say, and being ethical all the way and having a high content, because I think it's an ethical approach in this. Because if you look at, for example, Ecocert, which is a prominent, well-established certification, they are saying, if you read their certification rules, you need to change at least 50% of the ingredients to be defined and be able to apply for Ecocert. But how could EU flour have allowing 96 oil-based plastic? For me, it's just destroying. And if you ask them, then I know what they will say. Oh, we will take step by step and let the industry adjust to the new. But they can adjust already now. They can have my recipe. They can have my raw material supplier. They can apply it now. I give you all the context. Start buying. I can help you. No, it's just commercial reason. I'm sorry to say that. It's few ethical companies, and you have some in Germany. I think Veleda, Dr. Hauschbach, you have some ethical companies, but it's hard to find them.
How do you deal with frustration in your job?
I think the frustration goes out in the fact that I'm trying to be better and better in what we're doing constantly. And that's really, you feel really good when you see, okay, now we have accomplished the vibes. We have Ecocert, we have home compost. I mean, the objective is to make the product perfect from the consumer health aspect and from the environmental aspect. And that gives you the frustration is to get it out as quickly as possible in the market.
Who's doing all this research for you, by the way?
Actually, it's me. And also, I have one passionate engineer in chemistry from the engineer school here, KTH. And he has been working in the bio field for maybe now 20 years. And you don't find so many people in that field. I mean, it's so small. If you take in the total ton globally, I think the bio industry is 0.0001% of the total market. I mean, it's nothing. It's super small. So to find the people who know this technology and all the different raw materials is not easy. You don't find them easily. But I think that's the advantage we have in Sweden. We was early adopter. And Germany was even earlier adopter.
I mean, we're talking about one of the number one products of the fast moving consumer good industry, which is like really, really high on sales. And it needs a lawyer in Stockholm to think about how could we do this differently. This is pretty ironic, isn't it?
It's ironic. It's crazy because, I mean, the big guys could easily do this. I mean, they have all the resources, they have all the R&D, they have tons of people.
Did you make it to the radar of these companies already? Do you communicate with them? Do they sue you? Do you exchange?
The multinational, Yeah, they are on watching me all the time, every step I take.
How does this look like?
Yeah, they could look different ways. They manipulated this consumer magazine here in Sweden. They have threatened us to take us to court. They have been various ways. I remember I was winning an award in the UK of a baby magazine. And then we was only two people here in the office. And then when we was winning that award, like the best diaper in UK, we was taking a screenshot of the article and we was publishing it on our homepage. And then the magazine was calling me and said, Marlene, you need to withdraw that one because we have three guys from one of the multinationals coming in suits and coming into our office and said, you need to ask this brand to take it off because otherwise we will sue you. And I said, I mean, of course I take it away, because I don't want any legal action. So they have been around us over these 25 years in different ways.
And no change in perspective?
No change. I'm saying always we have 10 lives like a cat.
Doesn't the cat have 9 lives?
No, maybe. In Sweden we say 10 lives. So, but it's also, I think, also I've heard, because when I'm speaking with retailers, it's not only me. It's have happened with other brands as well.
Yeah, I'm always asking myself, I mean, these guys have kids as well, yeah? Mm. And I wonder whether they would love to put their babies in chemicals, in oil and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, this is always what I'm thinking. How could you be proud and look yourself in the mirror and be proud of what you have done when you know that actually you have polluted people and the environment? Because I think, why don't put taxes on this company? Put taxes and they will clean it up in 2 seconds. Because if it costs money, then they will solve it quickly. The political system should do that. that.
And as we said already, parents that get kids and need diapers, they usually think about how do I get my children dry mm. and not how do I get my children dry and behave in a way that mm. the environment is protected.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Do you aim for these parents that are already, you know, enlightened, that already think in that way? Or do you try to communicate also to these parents that do not think about this aspect already and try to help them understand?
I think it's not my way to educate them. But when I've been reading articles, and it depends on which source you read about, but when I've been reading articles, it's kind of a part of the brain who needs to be developed. So you can never train them to go to potty. So I think it's some stage when they can withdraw the diaper, and it depends on the child when you can move over to a potty training. But what I should want to say to the end consumer is that you need to change diapers frequently, because that's something which people tends to not understand. In the old days, you changed 9 diapers a day, because then you had just a pulp. Today you have a polyacrylate inside the pulp, which is keeping the wetness, the liquid, and they keep it up to 40 times its own weight. And that means that all diaper is dry. You never see the wetness on your baby's skin. But on the other hand, if you ask a skin doctor what's on the skin, it's not good. The urine is not good for the skin. So you need to change diaper. And that's why diaper rash have increased since you started to use so few diaper a day. So many times it's not the diaper, it's the fact that the baby maybe have been eating something which they don't are used to, tomato or whatever. And it's also that you maybe haven't changed the diaper frequently enough.
But I was about to ask you, when I bought my first eco diaper in Germany, I was reading about the guidelines for disposing it. And in Germany, it's forbidden to throw diapers into, we have different bins.
Yeah.
The brown ones are those where I put in the disposable stuff. And the black ones, which I think quite a few people do not know, is usually the litter, the garbage that ends up in fire. So it's burnt up. And diapers are not allowed to be put into this brown bins because of the poo-poo in it, the fecal aspect. And so what basically happens is it ends up in the black bins, is burned up, and what comes out afterwards is a big black part of basically burnt plastic.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And we have started to do an investigation of this concept. And we have had the chemistry engineer who looking into this. In Sweden, we have a long tradition. We had in the, for 40 years ago, a lot of people was building summer houses. And then you don't have a normal toilet system. And that's already technology which is here. And you burn it down to ashes. And that's already controlled then, that process. And you don't get any dangerous chemical in this process. And what we have also checked now is that if we have an electronic home compost, you get the soil, you just add some element into the soil, and then you can control the soil, and then you can throw it out in the normal environment. So we have already started to do this pre-study, because that was one of the first topic we needed to understand. Because if a baby maybe have been eating penicillin, you don't want that penicillin to end up in the soil. And that's possible to control it in the compost by adding this additive in the compost. What you can do also is by also changing the degree, because the compost process starts when you have 40 degrees. That's temperature you need. But if you would move it up to 50, then you kill all the bacteria, but then you don't get the good soil. So we have made this investigation. We have seen it's technically possible, and we haven't decided yet if we're going to start making this electronical compost or not, because also what I see is that the other products we have is quite easy. They can be sent to the compost also without having too much from the legal aspect. Because what we did also was an investigation just here in Sweden. We saw that there was different regulation for applying to have a home compost. And then it could be too tricky for a small corporation like us. That in Germany, maybe you have 15 different regulations, depending on where you're living. So it's maybe it's too complicated process for us. But on the other hand, I think it's an opportunity. There's many countries where you don't have all this regulation, where you don't have any system for handling waste. If you take India or China or Asia or Africa, so then this could be a good system. And if you also then start to think about what is flushed out in the water, then I've been eating penicillin. I mean, there's no way you can control what's flushed out in the sea. So it's two different questions. I think it's easy to control a compost bin, and we have seen that we can control it and we can get rid of any bacteria. And then it's up to the government to say, okay, you can use it or not.
When I speak to parents, I really realize that they don't even know about this fact. And whenever I'm trying to tell them why it doesn't make sense to buy eco diapers, I kind of fail to, you know, put up all the aspects of it, because in Germany, at least, it's this way. You're not allowed to put diapers in the brown dustbin. Mm. Yeah, it isn't composable because of the poo-poo in it. So because of the bacteria, etc. Mm. So you need to basically throw it into the black dustbin, which means it burns up. And then these parents ask me, okay, why would I, you know, pay much more, like 25% more? Mm. And I mean, diapers get more expensive the bigger the child gets, right? More price, less diapers in the package. Why would I buy that if it is burned up anyway in the very end?
I think my answer to them would be that, do they really want to have an oil-based plastic on the baby skin? It's the same material as in a carrier bag. Do they want to wrap their baby with this for 3 years every second? Because you use the diaper 24 hours. Is that what you want to use on your baby skin? No, I don't think any parents would say that they want to use this material on the baby skin. They want to use a natural, renewable material. They use cotton for the baby skin. They use soft, nice material, natural material on what they're using, the textile. They don't use this in the bed on the baby plastic products. And I don't think they want to have a plastic product wrapped around their baby. And it's also for the waste handling. If you're using renewable material, whatever way different countries or different cities is handling the waste, it's better for the environment. It's reducing the greenhouse effect. And that's what all 196 countries have signed off, that this is the future. I mean, the most difficult problem in the future is to solve the greenhouse effect. It's not solve what's on a landfill, because then you can touch it and control it, and some smart guy can understand how we should handle it. But the greenhouse effect is a real alarming problem. And we all need to change how we live and what kind of material we use. So now it's not a discussion if it's dangerous or not. Now it's obvious for all. But just for 3 years ago, it was still a discussion if it was just the climate difference, which have always been. But now I think everyone is agreeing we need to control this change of the climate.
Jetzt kommt ein kleiner Werbespot.
Aufgepasst! Wusstest du, dass HR-Teams heutzutage mit mehr Aufgaben denn je konfrontiert sind? In der aktuellen Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 von Sage, wurden HR-Teams aus 7 verschiedenen Ländern und über 20 Branchen befragt, um top aktuelle Insights in der Entwicklung des Personalwesens zu geben. Sage entwickelt HR-Tools und Software für dein Unternehmen, um Lohnabrechnungen, Personalmanagement, Buchhaltung und mehr zu vereinfachen. So, und die Studie von Sage zeigt unter anderem, dass ganze 91% der HR-Teams angeben, dass ihre Arbeitsbelastung im letzten Jahr zugenommen hat, aber gleichzeitig glauben 79% der Befragten, dass Automatisierung ihre Prozesse zukünftig verbessern und Zeit sparen kann. Ebenfalls spielt auch KI eine große Rolle. Derzeit nutzen etwa ein Drittel bereits Chatbots wie ChatGPT in ihren Prozessen. Und ca. 3/4 der PersonalleiterInnen sind sich bereits sicher, dass KI die Arbeitsweise im HR revolutionieren wird. Du merkst, die Studie ist vollgepackt mit Statistiken, überraschenden Erkenntnissen und Tipps für HR-Führungskräfte, die vorankommen wollen, und zeigt eine Momentaufnahme der sich stetig wandelnden Rolle von HR heute. Am besten schaust du dir die Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 selbst an. Unter digitalkompakt.de/Sage, S-A-G-E, kannst du sie dir komplett kostenlos herunterladen. Und wie immer findest du alle Infos auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/Sponsoren.
Werbung Ende.
Did you ever think about offering a service for like washable diapers instead of diapers that are thrown to the dustbin?
We did the analysis at the Swedish Environmental Foundation again. And we are having the high income, high educated people with lacking out of time. And I think the way to wash is not as all better for the environment if you doesn't do it in exactly the way you need to do it. And then you need to have green, ecological with the right certification washing powder. You need to wash it in low degree, 40 degree. You need to not tumble dry it or heat it when you have been washing it. And I don't think it's so many people who do like that, because it's quite high cost to buy this washable diaper. And you probably buy a few of them, and then you need to do it to get new fresh one. And I think I would use 90 degree if I wash this kind of product, because I want to make sure it's really clean. And then it's not good for the environment if you take the life cycle analyze on it. We're always saying that our mission as a producer, we need to give high performance product on equal cost, but it will be an added value, the environmental aspect.
Okay, makes
that's
sense.
The only thing to change the total industry.
Yeah, so that's mass market versus niche, yeah. And at the same time, yeah, saving time. How do you market such a target group? I mean, if they have high income, high education, maybe they are a little suspicious about some stuff.
Yeah,
yeah? I could imagine that it's that easy to do advertising on a target group that's used to doing research.
No, I think it's by being transparent and respecting the consumer. We never have done like the multinational, like underestimating the end consumer. So we have not made marketing ever. I mean, if you take the big brands, the norm I have heard in the industry is that when you buy a product, actually they use 25% of the product value for marketing. And we have been maybe using 1-2% of the total turnover maximum, including the people who work here. And I think the way we have been able to sell the product is because our end consumer is well educated, and you search for information, and you also believe in certification, third-party certification. And we are one of the few brands who holds a certification. They are investigating. I'm 100% sure that this end consumer is doing that, because it's a high consumer value. And if you are having your A glasses on, if you have become green, you need to spend time on investigation, because nobody else is doing for you. So you need to find out which is the certification I trust, because I don't want to pay higher price for my food, which a supplier just have greenwashed me. And I think people understand this mechanic.
But I mean, these like truffle picks, yeah, in a way, as far as I learned, the amount of people isn't that big. As you said already, that the bio industry compared to the whole big FMCG industry is rather small. And I guess you guys are interested in helping, you know, find people a way to the glasses you mentioned, the A glasses, yeah? Is there a way of doing it? Did you think about like content marketing? Are you doing search engine advertising? Are you on Facebook?
We did some tests last year, small tests in a small way. We tested different way of communicating with the consumer, and we found out that Facebook was a good way for us. We was getting good return on the investment, and we haven't pushed it so far. We are in a trial period now for 12 weeks, and we have just passed 4 weeks now in the trial. So this is the first time, assuming it works out, we will push for more marketing, because we need to make sure also that we get the return on the investment. So we are not in a position where we can do like the multinational making brand building. That's not the way we can handle it. And I think also the loyalty club we have hold and the awareness of this end consumer, because according to Boston Consulting Group, and this is an all investigation from 2014, it's 8% of the industrial countries who buying organic eco products from time to time. And this group of people have probably already reached 10%, 12%. And when they are the influencer, they are the journalist, engineer, lawyers, whatever they have, they are the influencer. And when they get up to 12%, if you read economic history, then it tips over to the other 43% who start to wondering, maybe I should buy this product, it's better for my health. So I think it's a trend now, and according to Boston Consulting Group, it's going to increase this segment with 5-15% of non-food, this kind of products, because people have just been aware about organic food. And in some markets that have established a good market share. And I think that's already an established market now. But then for this non-food industry, people haven't thought what's inside this kind of product. Because if you start to think that all these products, which have no ingredients either on them, we will publish ingredients on our diapers and all the products, exactly explain what we're using. But how could it be that you doesn't have ingredients on a product which you're using 3 years on your new baby? Who is checking and controlling what you're using? Who is controlling what you're using as a female? Tampons, for example.
Yeah, I guess people are thinking about what they put in their body, but not on their body, right?
Exactly. And the skin is the biggest membrane in the body. It takes 20 seconds to get into the blood what you put on your baby skin.
Really?
20 seconds.
Really? That's insane.
Yeah, insane.
That's scary.
It's scary, scary.
Insane and scary.
It's scary. So that's what people don't think about. And I think this is the next big trend. People will start to think about what are you using. And I was reading an article and also the Swedish Environmental Foundation. The most polluted room in a house or an apartment is the baby's room.
Really?
Yeah, because what are you doing as a new parent? You decorate the room, you paint it, buy a furniture, you buy toys made in China with plastic and softener, which is the most dangerous. It's really all plastic product which is soft is alarm, not for human people.
That's scary.
It's scary. So it's an industry which have pumped in chemicals, and it's much cheaper to use chemical and nasty chemical than using natural ingredients.
I would love to see your flat to get some inspiration on how furniture my rooms without all this stuff.
Yeah, you need to do that. I'm reading books now because it's alarming.
Yeah, indoor pollution is the word I'm focusing on. Interesting. Is subscription working, by the way, in the diaper industry? Because we have a German company called Lilly Doo, which is backed by some of the internet guys I know as well. And as far as I know, they pretty much focus on trying to selling subscriptions. And
I think it's a good way to sell diapers, absolutely. It is an easy way for the families to get home with the diapers. But we haven't been focusing on this part of business. We have our own web shop, but I think still our focus will be to sell through retailers and online players. I see we're selling in Korea, for example, and 80% of the volume is sold online.
How is Amazon working for you guys?
You say we're selling a lot to Amazon. We are really...
Yeah, that's always the tough part. On the one hand, selling a lot. On the other hand, being, you know, part of the influence,
yeah,
right?
But also on the other hand, because of how we have built up the brand, that we are so unique. We are not in competition with all the other ones who have commodity brands.
What about drugstores, by the way? In Germany, you have Rossmann and DM. They also sell diapers under their own brands, which are also supposed to be eco. They also feel like eco in comparison. I, for instance, tried out Lilly Doo, and I think they do not feel like eco diapers to me.
But they don't say it's eco either, Lilly Doo.
Yeah, I found out that.
They are not eco diaper. Yeah, and they don't say that either.
They are stylish, that's true.
Yeah, it's a standard diaper. It's a traditional diaper they're selling.
These drugstore diapers, are they really, you know, eco? And is it a competitor for you?
I did an analysis on them, but I think my analysis is 3 years old, and then they was not eco. I think one of their drug market had 75% oil-based plastic in their product. But I don't know today. I haven't analyzed them in the past. But I would be really, surprised if they have increased the content, because the mechanism of the market, private label need to be 25% cheaper than brands. And if you then have a private label and increase the cost for the raw material, it's an impossible mechanism. They can't have all the material. It's cost them too much. Then they need to have the same brands as brand leader, and nobody will buy them.
Is this one of your most relevant competitors? Because these guys have the audience in their rooms and can sell their own stuff to a cheap price?
No, private label is not affecting us. We have been analyzing it so many times. So when we launched in a retailer, we never take from private label. We take from the brand leader. Never from private label. It's two different segments. And this segment, which is high income, high education, this responsible consumer, they are not the one who's buying private label product many times, except in some markets where you have extremely good private label. But you also, it's new technologies randomly done by private label. Private label is followers. It's when it becomes a commodity, you have private label products where you might have a good quality, but not when you have innovation.
Last question, maybe two parts of the equation. From a user's perspective, what can I do to make a difference when it comes to these topics, being eco, using fast-moving consumer goods with regard to babies or also women, and maybe also you guys? What do you have in mind as a vision for the next 25 years?
Yeah, for the end consumer, look for the right certification. Start to educate yourself so you buy the right product and use natural, renewable, plant-based, compostable material because it's less dangerous chemical in this material, and search for the information. And our vision is to complete all our products to become healthy and good environmental alternative with using plant-based compostable material. That's our mission with the company. I think we are in a good way. I mean, we have solved the majority of the other products. The diaper is still a big challenge, but I think we will see the light of size 0 and 1 with compostable material. And then hopefully other company will follow, and then prices drops, and maybe then all diaper can be compostable. I hope at least.
Yeah, I hope so too. And it was really worth taking the flight to a different country and spending so much time here. Because I learned so much and it was really inspiring. Thanks a lot for all your time and all the input. I think we should follow on this.
Thanks so much.
Jetzt kommt ein kleiner Werbespot.
Aufgepasst! Wusstest du, dass HR-Teams heutzutage mit mehr Aufgaben denn je konfrontiert sind? In der aktuellen Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 von Sage, wurden HR-Teams aus 7 verschiedenen Ländern und über 20 Branchen befragt, um top aktuelle Insights in der Entwicklung des Personalwesens zu geben. Sage entwickelt HR-Tools und Software für dein Unternehmen, um Lohnabrechnungen, Personalmanagement, Buchhaltung und mehr zu vereinfachen. So, und die Studie von Sage zeigt unter anderem, dass ganze 91% der HR-Teams angeben, dass ihre Arbeitsbelastung im letzten Jahr zugenommen hat, aber gleichzeitig glauben 79% der Befragten, dass Automatisierung ihre Prozesse zukünftig verbessern und Zeit sparen kann. Ebenfalls spielt auch KI eine große Rolle. Derzeit nutzen etwa ein Drittel bereits Chatbots wie ChatGPT in ihren Prozessen. Und ca. 3/4 der PersonalleiterInnen sind sich bereits sicher, dass KI die Arbeitsweise im HR revolutionieren wird. Du merkst, die Studie ist vollgepackt mit Statistiken, überraschenden Erkenntnissen und Tipps für HR-Führungskräfte, die vorankommen wollen, und zeigt eine Momentaufnahme der sich stetig wandelnden Rolle von HR heute. Am besten schaust du dir die Studie HR-Trends, die Zukunft der Personalarbeit 2024 selbst an. Unter digitalkompakt.de/Sage, S-A-G-E, kannst du sie dir komplett kostenlos herunterladen. Und wie immer findest du alle Infos auch auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/Sponsoren.
Werbung Ende.